What is going on, everyone? Welcome to another episode of the Backyard Bullpen Podcast. And this will be our first ever college baseball weekend update episode. And this is where you can go for all things that happen in the midweek as you get ready for another weekend in college baseball. So week one of college baseball is officially in the books. We had, of course, multiple home runs, multiple big strikeouts. We had an action-packed opening weekend. And now that we've made it to weekend two, let's take a look back at some of the midweeks that caught my attention. Now, first of all, before we can get into midweeks that caught my attention, it's important to note why midweeks matter. So for me, in my college baseball experience, I had midweeks where I played at a big school at UVA, and I had midweeks where I played at small schools like App State and UMBC. We actually, in 2016, we had a midweek at App State where we played against Tennessee. And to show you how far the Tennessee program's come, we only lost that game by like one or two runs. It was actually pretty close, which was insane to think about with where Tennessee baseball's at these days. But midweeks give these smaller schools a chance to really test themselves against sometimes bigger opponents. But it also just provides a lot of opportunities for these smaller schools to get their names out there and prove, hey, look, we might be a small school from enter your small school's town's name, but we can ball out still. And another thing about midweeks that you often get is really cool in-state rivalries. Like later on, I'm sure we'll get Florida versus Florida State and things like that, that are really exciting and really fun to watch. Now, another thing that's important about midweeks is a lot of the time to break into the weekend rotation, the weekend roster, whatever you want to call it, it's guys getting experience in the midweeks and being able to prove themselves. So, I mean, you'll see it time and time again. A guy does really well in a midweek who might not be playing every weekend, and all of a sudden they're in the weekend lineup and they're absolutely making a difference for their teams. But that's enough about why midweeks are important. So let's get into some midweek results. Here are a couple of games that really caught my attention. First off, we had Tennessee versus UNC Asheville. The Volunteers walked away with this one with a victory in seven innings. They scored 29 runs. The final score was 29-4. And Tennessee offense was on full display, just the way you expect the Vols to be playing. Now, UNC Asheville went up early in the top of the second. They scored a couple of runs. And then Tennessee responded by putting up a nine spot. It was just an absolutely dominant performance by the Vols. Dean Curley and Dalton Bargo each had two home runs apiece, which was really cool to see. Dalton actually had two home runs in the same inning, one of them being a grand slam that I think went over the batter's eye, probably almost killed a fan. But it was just insane. I really hope Dalton Bargo can continue this hot streak, because if he plays like the way he's capable of playing, he can be one of the best power hitters in the nation. And then Gavin Killen, the Louisville transfer, also had a home run as well. So just really cool to see all those guys coming into Tennessee and really finding their own stride. Now, another matchup that was absolutely electric was NC State and Liberty. Liberty, of course, came down, play NC State and Raleigh, and they walked away with the victory, a 9-8 win. NC State had actually entered the ninth inning with a three-run lead, and Liberty scraped across two runs through a throwing error and a fielder's choice. Then Florida transfer Michael Robertson came up with two runners on and ripped a two RBI double to right field. That it was just electric. One of my favorite things to see is when I tweet a highlight of a guy who went from a big school to probably a smaller school, just fan base wise. And when you share that highlight and the former fan base, so the Florida fan base, like everybody was so stoked for him. And that really makes me happy. That's the way I wish the transfer portal worked in all cases, where it's like, okay, a guy may have left our program, but we cared about him when he was at the program. So we're going to care about him. We're still going to root for him to have success when he is somewhere new and finding his own home. And that seems to really be the case in this instance. And then, of course, Garrett McLaughlin tossed a clean ninth inning to close it out, and Liberty is now 4-0 on the season. Another midweek that was very exciting was Troy versus Auburn. This is one of those in-state matchups that became absolutely electric. I believe Troy was ranked one spot ahead of Auburn, but Auburn came away with the 7-6 victory. Now, Troy went down early in this game. They went down four and responded by putting up five runs in the second inning to take the lead. And Auburn just kind of kept it close all game, eventually tying it up in the sixth. And both teams' pitching staffs did particularly well, mainly Auburn's because they were, trying to hold the lead from behind. And anytime you're a college pitcher, just a pitcher in general, being able to come in relief, one of the best feelings is, I kept the team in this game. It could have gotten out of hand in a hurry, but we stayed in it. And then a lot of the times, if you're putting on a good relief performance like that, your lineup's going to be energized. They aren't going to get bored having these long innings out in the field. They're going to get back in the dugout and be ready to hit. Now, in the bottom of the ninth with no outs, Troy loaded the bases. They had a runner there. Auburn had a runner on third. So Troy intentionally walks two. They walked Cade Ballou and then also Bristol Carter, the ECU transfer. And unfortunately, the way it shakes up is that means it was time for Ike Irish to step up to the plate, which he's not particularly a guy you want up in the plate in that situation if you're trying to win the ball game on defense. If you're Auburn, though, you absolutely want him walking up to the plate. And he delivered a walk-off base hit. Auburn walked away with this one with the 7-6 win, but just an electric ball game all around. Now, another game that was very exciting. It was a game I actually went to this time last year to start off my midweek coverage. It was Campbell versus ECU, and this was, of course, at Campbell down in Buies Creek. And Campbell came away with the 3-2 victory. Now, both fan bases would agree this is one of the best midweek matchups of the year. I feel like it's a rivalry that's really exploded over recent years. And Campbell was able to walk away with the first victory for Coach Marks in his tenure with the Campbell Camels. Now, the Camels were, it's their fifth straight win over ECU in the fifth matchup that they've played. And again, this is a, it's two fan bases that are randomly at each other's throats. And so anytime this game's going on, Twitter is an absolutely buzzing place to be. And as someone in my position who's chronically online, it was fun to see it all play out. Now, Jet Music is a player for the Campbell Camels. He's a left fielder. He came in from left field, which I absolutely love when that happens. That when I see a position player come in from the field to pitch, that's when college baseball feels like it's supposed to. Like, yeah, this is amateur baseball. I know these days that we've gotten into, it's kind of become like professional baseball. But anytime I see a position player coming in to pitch from their position, I'm like, yeah, that's right. This is college baseball, baby. Now, Jet Music came in with a runner on first, one out, and proceeded to toss 2.2 innings of perfect relief, striking out six of the eight batters he's faced to earn the win. It was just a really cool performance. Now, there's a lot of question marks around these two teams in general. There's a whole lot of new faces, so it was great to see such a competitive game between the two. Another game that really caught my attention was UNC Greensboro, kind of taking it to Wake Forest. They won 4-0, and Noah Chapman and Danny Thompson Jr. both absolutely shoved for the Spartans. Chapman went five innings pitched, only surrendering one hit and two walks while punching out seven batters, no runs, of course. And then Danny Thompson Jr. went four innings pitched himself. He only surrendered one hit, one walk while striking out seven, just like his buddy Noah. And it was just a really good game. They absolutely quieted one of the loudest offenses in college baseball, in my opinion. And this is something that we've seen happen to Wake Forest before. So I'm interested to see how they respond from it this weekend. Now that we've gone over some of the midweek action, let's take a look at some dudes who've collected a lot of strikeouts that I think you should keep an eye on. Starting off, of course, we have UNC Greensboro's Noah Chapman. He has 14 strikeouts on the season. He's collected seven strikeouts in his two outings this year. And so I think he's someone you're going to want to keep an eye on. ECU's Brad Pruitt, he transferred in from Oklahoma and has really found a nice home with the Pirates. He currently has 14 punchouts. Then, of course, we have Baylor's Ethan Calder, and Baylor's pitching staff has been absolutely phenomenal this season. There's something's going on down in Waco, Texas. If it's a If we got another cult down there, but the cult is pitching very well, sign me up. I'll join that cult. I would love to be a part of the pitch as well cult. But Ethan Calder punched out 13 guys in 5 innings pitch. So of the 15 outs he could collect, he has 13. And then Florida's Luke McNeely. Of course, you hear the any part of a last name and a Florida Gator having Neely in it. You know that they're going to be gross on the mound, and this just happens to be McNeely. But Luke McNeely, he's a reliever. He has 13 punchouts on the season. He was excellent for Florida over the midweek, so he's definitely someone you're going to be want to watch. You're going to want to keep an eye on. Now, shifting gears a little bit, let's talk about some dudes who have absolutely been melting some home runs. We're going to stay in Gainesville to talk about Florida's Brody Doné. On the season right now, he's 9 for 14 with 4 home runs. He had a home run this week against Jacksonville where it was a 2-strike count. You could see they tweeted a really good side profile of it. And if I am a high school baseball player and I'm like, man, I want to know how to get power in a 2-strike approach, I'm watching this video on repeat because Mr. Doné, his stance, he's a gigantic human, but his stance takes up the whole batter's box. He kind of does like a reverse stride where his lead foot ends up even shorter than where it started. And he melts this home run. He absolutely destroys a baseball over the left center field fence for his 4th home run of the year. Another guy who's been really mashing to start the season has been University of New Orleans' Bryce Callaway. He's 8 for 12 with 4 home runs on the season, and all 4 of his home runs came on February 15th in a doubleheader against University of West Georgia. This is University of West Georgia's first year being a Division I program, but they did take 2 out of 3 to start their season. So he's not doing this against some absolute slouches. These are good pitchers, they're winning pitchers, and he is just being an absolute problem. Another batter to keep your eye on has to be High Point's Landon Johnson. He has 4 home runs on the year, one of them being a walk-off, and he's currently hitting 9 for 17. It's like anytime this dude gets up, there is an absolute threat that he's going to put the ball over the fence. And from watching his swing, watching tape of him, this dude is taking some aggressive hacks. And for the most part, it's working out very well for him. Now, to round it all out, the last guy I want to mention has to be Incarnate Word's Ryan Scott, who currently on the season is 7 for 15, but all of his hits are extra base hits. He has 4 home runs, 2 doubles, and 1 triple. He's a guy I want to see how long into the season he can go before he gets his first single, but I got a feeling it's not going to be for a while, not because he can't hit, because he certainly can, but because this dude just simply loves extra base hits. Now, moving along, let's get into some of the games I'm excited for this weekend. First up, we have a tournament going on in DeLand, Florida at Stetson, where we have Iowa, Notre Dame, and UMBC. Now, the Iowa Hawkeyes, I actually saw them last weekend at USF. And in the Saturday game, they looked phenomenal. The pitching staff shoved. There were a lot of big time home runs. So they went back to Iowa for, I believe they went back for a day. I think the pitching coach had mentioned to me, Mr. I can't remember his name, I believe, but we were talking and he was like, yeah, we'll go back to Iowa for about 38 hours, then we're shipping back down to Florida. All I could think about was that's going to be a rough 38 hours. I'm sure it's freezing cold there right now, and you go back, you do school for a day, and then it's like, all right, back to business. Let's go back to Florida and we're going to play Stetson, and Notre Dame's going to be there as well, and along with them comes the UMBC Retrievers. Now, of course, this is a place where I spent a lot of my time playing college baseball. And I remember we would come down to Florida just about every year, just, early in the spring. It's cold back in Maryland. So I'm happy that the Retrievers will be getting out of Maryland, getting some sunshine down here in the beautiful state of Florida. Another tournament I'm excited for is at Globe Life Field. We have TCU, Michigan, Arkansas, and Kansas State. Michigan got off to a hot start down in Puerto Rico. They're 4-0 on the season. I believe their midweek game got canceled, but either way, they looked really good on the mound and offensively. They had a lot of big home runs. I know Mr. Voit had some really cool home runs that went very far. TCU is another team to be excited about. Kirk Sarlous always puts together a good team, and Honestly, I feel like one thing that stands out about TCU baseball is just the way that the team is able to gel so fastly. And then, of course, Arkansas is an absolute powerhouse this season on the mound. They have guys like Gabe Gackel, Landon Beidelschies, which that's the correct pronunciation. I made sure before I interviewed him to talk with him and get that pronunciation down because I know Beidelschies is a name I'm going to be saying a lot this season. And I think other people will be saying a lot this season too. So I'm hopeful that they will get it right as well, because as a guy with a chaos last name, nothing was more frustrating than the fact that no one knew how to say it. But either way, on the mound, he absolutely shoves. Then while we're on the topic of, difficult names to pronounce, we have the Aloy brothers, Vahiva and Cujillo. And they both had a home run over the weekend. That was very exciting to see them mash together. And I'm excited to see what they can do down at Globe Life. Now, some other weekend matchups that are just normal college baseball matchups that I'm excited about. We have Clemson versus VCU. VCU is a super scrappy program. I feel like I blew so many saves against them when I played at UVA. I don't think I ever pitched well against them. And they're a fighting ball club. They play like they have something to prove, and they typically end up proving it. And then Clemson, of course, is the clubhouse leaders in fun this offseason. And I think that that's going to carry a strong weight moving into the season. So I'm excited to see how that goes. Another matchup I'm excited for is UNC versus ECU. This is one of those big in-state rivalries I was talking about that usually happens during the midweek, but we get to see it on the weekend because conference play hasn't started yet. ECU is a program that's always looking to prove themselves. They're always playing with a chip on their shoulder. They play super scrappy baseball. And then UNC is just ultra talented as always. I know they have a lockdown center fielder and Luke Stevenson behind the plate. It's one of the best defensive catchers I've seen in college baseball. So he's super fun to watch. And guys on the mound like Folger Boaz, I'm happy to see him back, but there's just so much talent down in Chapel Hill. So that's going to be a really good matchup. Then we also have Nebraska taking on Louisiana, which Nebraska this season has come off to a hot start. And they had that game against Vanderbilt where they just absolutely dominated. And it was really fun to watch. And so I think this is going to be a really good matchup, another tough test as Louisiana's. They're a good program year after year. They're one of the best offenses I ever faced in college baseball. And so I'm excited to see how that one goes. And then to round it all out, something I'm always excited for is watching baseball on the beautiful island, the tropical island of Hawaii, where we're going to have the Wichita State Shockers. We're going to have Coach Brian Green and his team of ragtag guys taking on the Hawaii Rainbow Warriors. Now, this is one of Hawaii's best pitching staffs that they've ever had. Coach Rich Hill has done a phenomenal job putting the team together. I know that it's the most velocity they've ever had in the history of the program. So they've been super fun to watch this year, not to mention the fact that all their games are at like 11 p.m. Eastern time. So it's always the best thing to watch before going to bed. I've loved it ever since I started college. Covering college baseball, I remember the first night I tuned into a Hawaii baseball game. It was February 22nd of 2022. 2-2-2-2-2-2-2. A lot of twos, but either way, I tuned into a game, immediately fell in love. The commercial before the game even started, it was on commercial break for Long Groceries, which it looks like a CVS pharmacy style store. Actually, the font kind of looked more like Walgreens, if I'm being honest with you. But in the commercial, there's a little girl and she's like, "Dad, it's late at night. I haven't done my science fair project. I need a poster board. I need markers." She's living through everyone's nightmare. Everyone has had that experience where you got to go to a parent and be like, "Hey, look, you're going to be pissed, but this needs to get done." And dad's like, "No problem. We'll go to Long Grocery." And just all their commercials are so phenomenal. It's all homegrown stuff, and I love it. So that I'm excited for, but also the baseball action is absolutely phenomenal. Now, another thing that's going on this weekend in college baseball is, of course, last weekend was opening weekend, but this weekend it's opening weekend for the Ivy Leagues. And like smart people will do, the first week when it's super freezing cold outside, They're like, you know what? We're just going to keep practicing. We aren't going to worry about playing baseball yet. We're going to wait till it warms up a little bit. And of course, smart guys do smart guy things. I think we should all do what Ivy League's doing from time to time, because they end up being doctors, lawyers, and presidents. But I'm very excited for this. First of all, we got Harvard taking on Fordham in Cary, North Carolina. So we got two schools from the Northeast coming down to North Carolina where they can play baseball in the warm weather and not have to worry about snow. Then we have Columbia going to Kennesaw State, Cornell at Duke. I feel like Duke is the Ivy League of North Carolina. There's so many smart guys that go there, so many guys from the Ivy League transferring to Duke. I feel like that's a strong pipeline. So I'm sure that if someone balls out for Cornell this year, maybe they're a senior. And of course, the Ivy League doesn't allow graduate players because that's just too much degree. Grad school is probably too hard in the Ivy League for a lot of guys to, play baseball and split their time. So it's like, hey, you got to go somewhere else if you want to be older and play baseball. So we see a lot of them end up going to Duke or Texas A&M from what I've seen. Then we have Yale coming to North Carolina, playing at Queens down in Charlotte. Dartmouth is playing at Texas, Brown at North Florida, Princeton at Miami. So all these smart guys coming down south to play baseball, making the smart move. And then, of course, some of the smartest and some of the goodest at baseball, the Penn Quakers, will be coming down to Tallahassee, Florida, to take on Jamie Arnold and the Florida State Seminoles. This is a matchup I'm particularly excited for. Of course, we know the Quake Show. They have fun, they have a good time, but they aren't messing around when it comes to baseball. They're consistent winners in the Ivy League, consistently winning the Ivy League tournament. I met a lot of them last season at the Charlottesville Regional, and this is a team you should definitely be excited about. And not to mention, I want these smart guys to see Jamie Arnold's fastball, be able to analyze it, and report back to us what the heck is going on, because it shouldn't be allowed for a guy to throw from that low of a slot that hard and that accurately. Okay. It's too many good things in one person. Moving along to round things out, these are the guys that I am most excited to watch this season, guys that I think you should be tuning into whenever they step up to the plate. Starting off, we have Troy Shane Lewis. He's 5 for 11 on the season. He has two doubles, three home runs, just a very dynamic swing. And I think he's someone who's going to make a really big difference for Troy this spring. Of course, they have Brooks Brian behind the plate, one of the best catchers in the nation. He absolutely rakes. But his buddy Shane having a good season is going to be huge for the Trojans. Now, Southeastern Louisiana is a team you're just going to want to watch all of them, because right now they have three guys with three home runs, which this early in the season is absurd. There's many teams that don't even have their first home run of the season yet. Looking at you, Penn Quakers, if there was a team that could hit home runs while not playing baseball, I thought it'd be you. But either way, I still believe in you guys. Still love you, Penn Quakers. But either way, Southeastern Louisiana has these three guys. They hit Mo Little, Jude Hall, and Ryan Brome. These guys absolutely mash. Mo Little has one of the most fun swings to watch in college baseball. It's silky smooth and produces a ton of power. Moving over to Tarleton State, Tyson Drake is a guy who I'm particularly excited to watch. He's currently 6 for 19 on the season. His six hits are a double, a triple, three home runs, and one single. But either way, this kid's been an absolute difference maker for Tarleton State. So you're going to want to keep an eye on him. Wake Forest's Merrick Houston, he's a shortstop, one of the best defensive shortstops in the nation. He's 10 for 18 with a double, three home runs. He's been very consistent. Of course, they got blanked by UNC Greensboro earlier in the week. But I think coming off of a game like that, they've gone back to practice, gone back to campus. It's time to refocus, regroup a little bit. And I feel like Wake Forest and the Demon Deacons are going to be playing a little bit angered this weekend. Now, some other guys who have had interesting stat lines that I think will really be breakout stars, and I think this weekend is going to be huge for them. First of all, we have Mississippi Valley State's Tanner Aoki. He's from Hawaii. His dream was to play Division I baseball. He's doing it. He's only played in one game. But in that game, he's 4 for 5 and he's 4 for 4 on stolen bases. He also walked one time. But I'm very excited to watch him. He's just a super dynamic player, and I like any guy who's causing absolute mayhem on the base paths. Another guy to watch is New Mexico State's Cooper Brass. Now, New Mexico State's 1-2 on the season. Their two games, they got run ruled in their two losses. Cooper Brass has been an absolute bright spot for him. He's 8-for-10 on the season. I'm excited. Just his consistency is insane. Now, the last guy I think everyone should keep an eye on is Alabama shortstop Justin LeBron. He'll make highlight reel plays at shortstop all game long, but the dude's also currently 8-for-16 on the season. He's just really put it together. He's always had great bat to ball skills, and I think he's gotten a lot bigger this offseason, just like a lot stronger, a lot more physical. He currently has four doubles and two home runs, so you're going to want to circle whenever he is hitting the, or whenever he's stepping up to the plate, because this dude can absolutely rake. Now that's it for this weekend update, episode one episode. Let me know what you guys thought of it. Make sure to leave a rating. 5 stars, particularly, is what I prefer if you're cool with that. It certainly helps me out. And as you rate the show, things can only get better. And you, of course, can always, I'm always open to hearing criticism. Let me know what I can do better. Let me know what you want to hear more of. But it's been a very exciting opening week in college baseball, of course. Now that we've had our first midweeks, we've had our first upsets. It's just been a ton of fun. The 2025 season is off to a hot start, and it's only going to get hotter. Make sure to like, comment, subscribe, whatever it is you want to do, and let me know how this episode's going, how this podcast has been going. And remember, if you want to buy college baseball's rad merch, Big Donkey Brand, that's the place to do it. You can get shirts, sweatshirts, hats, new designs will be dropping all throughout the season. So make sure to stay tuned for those. And thank you, as always, for listening to the Backyard Bullpen Podcast. We'll catch you next Monday.